One. Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio's Rewiring the Soul. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio's Rewiring the Soul. I'm your host, Dr. Gabriela Korch, coming to you live from Marbella, Spain, as I do every Wednesday. If you want to listen to nearly 200 previous broadcasts covering topics ranging from relationships and sexuality to inner growth and higher consciousness, both from Blog Talk Radio and other sources, visit my website, advancedpersonaltherapy.com, or my blog, psychologytransformationfreedompapers.blogspot.com. I've got a fantastic show for you today with Michael Fisher and Resonance Repatterning, a practical method to transform unconscious patterns that create our limitations. By going through the process of resonance repatterning, individuals are able to move into resonance with life-enhancing and energizing responses. Michael is originally from South Africa and now lives in Canada in the beautiful city of Vancouver. And Michael's website is www.healthy-life.ca. Okay, so let's get started. Michael, welcome. I'm so pleased that you've been able to make the show.
Thank you so much, Gabriela, and thank you for inviting me to be on your show.
Well, I think it's just the most fascinating system that you use, and while I understand, of course, that this is a system that is used by numerous practitioners all over the world, it turns out that you are the one, through your article that I read on Peter Shepherd's website, Transform Mind, which is a magnificent website, I might add, I actually learned about this, and that's when I got in touch with you. So let's assume, Michael, that our listeners have never heard of resonance repatterning. What exactly is it?
Well, it's quite interesting. You know, for years, the founder of resonance repatterning is somebody, Chloe Faith Wordsworth, and for years she called it holographic repatterning, because mm-hmm. it is based on quantum physics, but people had problems getting their minds around what is holographic, what is a hologram, and how does this apply into the work, and so on. And even clients of practitioners would go away and say, oh, this is fantastic, and I had the most incredible experience, and then, but what was it, and what happened in the session? They found great difficulty explaining the process. So after about 5-6 years of this, Chloe decided to change the name to resonance repatterning, because people understand when you say, I resonate with anger, I resonate with lack of energy or a poor relationship, etc., etc., we understand that. But I like to still explain it in terms of the hologram, because it is based on quantum physics. So I go back to a very significant symposium that was held in Paris in 1982, to which most of the preeminent quantum physicists of the day were invited. And they were discussing the fact that the entire universe is in fact a giant hologram. Now, a hologram is a three-dimensional image that resonates light and sound. You see them on credit cards, and they use them in theme parks, etc., etc. But they were discussing...
Yes, and in many movies nowadays, of course, too.
Yes. So they were discussing the fact that the entire universe is a giant hologram, and therefore they postulated that every sentient being, everything that contains the life force, from the vegetable, insect, fish, bird, animal, human kingdom, is all part of this giant hologram. And since in terms of quantum physics, time is not linear, there's no such thing as the past, the present, or the future, we can access the past, the present, or the future at subatomic particle level, at cellular level. What does this mean?
Yes.
It means that every single piece of information in the universe is in fact encoded in every single one of your cells, like software. Consequently, it's encoded in every single one of my cells. That is why I am able to do, and I do, phone-in sessions from all over the world. I've got clients in Switzerland. I've got two clients in Birmingham, Hawaii, of course, all over America, Canada, because I'm able to get the information that I need, and I will give you the methodology in a moment, in order for us to do a session of resonance repatterning. Now, as a result of this symposium, there was a very significant book that was written by one of the people who was there, a quantum physicist called Michael Talbot, who wrote a book called The Holographic Universe.
Is that T-A-L-V-E-R-T, Talbot?
T-A-L-B-O-T, Michael Talbot.
B-O-T, oh, okay. Yes.
And he wrote The Holographic Universe, and a lot of the subsequent work was based on that particular, became a textbook. In fact, it's rather sad because he wrote it in his early 30s and he was dead by the time he was 37 or something. So he didn't last very long. That's another story. Anyway, as a result of this, let's talk about Chloe. Chloe Faith Wordsworth is a naturalized American born in England. She came to America with her family. Her father was always into alternative education. I think he was a headmaster originally of one of the Waldorf schools. And then they came to America, and he was already into organic farming and using naturopathic remedies and homeopathic remedies and using organic food and so on, long before it was fashionable. So as a child, Chloe and her two sisters were homeschooled, and she always wanted to be of service. She always wanted to make a difference. So as soon as she was old enough, she studied, I think, first English and philosophy at UCLA, and then she studied Chinese medicine with an American who had studied the methodology in Japan and China, directly applied, of course, into acupuncture, and that is the ancient five-element and meridian system of ancient China. And she became certified as an acupuncturist and worked for 7 years in drug and alcohol abuse rehabilitation. While she was doing that, she studied the polarity therapy, which is based on the ancient chakra system of India.
Yes.
Then she studied Jinshin Jitsu with Mary Burmeister. She studied applied kinesiology. She studied cranial sacral. I mean, it just went on and on and on and on. But what she found was that some of these systems worked some of the time for some of the people. Sometimes they didn't work at all. And if they did, they had no cohesion. They didn't stick. But she knew, with this huge body of work, that there must be something that would address the body's own innate wisdom as to the order in which it wishes to heal itself,
the
physical, mental, emotional, and spirit level. So she took everything that she'd ever learned and put it into the form of a six-step process called holographic repatterning. By the way, every single thing that she ever learned that I've just spoken about, Chinese medicine, five elements, chakra system, et cetera, we have had to learn as practitioners. So the seminars, we had to go through these seminars in order to accrue all of this information before we could become certified as practitioners. And subsequently, of course, I was also certified as a teacher. I now teach resonance repatterning in Western Canada.
Which, by the way, is always in situ in Vancouver. Do you teach anywhere else, or do you teach also by the Internet?
No, if people go to the resonancerepatterning.org website, you will see a list of places where it is taught and who the teachers are. But I'm responsible. A lot of people come up to me from Western United States, from Washington State, to have seminars with me, but I stay in this locale. I don't travel, and I don't teach it over the Internet. No, this has got to be a one-on-one with a class, a seminar, and the very first entry point is called Empowering Yourself with Resonance Repatterning. Now, it's important to tell you what the tool is, how we get this information, and that is applied kinesiology, what we call muscle checking. So I'm going to give you a little history on that, and this is all purely scientific. So when you were born, you start to breathe automatically. You don't engage the brain. Your heart starts to beat automatically. You don't engage the brain. That comes from the autonomic nervous system. When you put your hand on a hot plate of a stove, you remove it before you engage the brain because by then it would be too late. If a fly flies into your eye, you will blink before you've engaged the brain because it is about survival, fight or flight. So the autonomic nervous system is made up of the parasympathetic nervous system and the sympathetic nervous system. Parasympathetic nervous system is about being still. quiet, sleep, meditation. Sympathetic nervous system is about being active. So the body is controlled by the sympathetic and the parasympathetic nervous system. Now we've harnessed that to give us a binary on or off response from a muscle indicator. So I use my fingers to get that binary on or off response. That way, I am able to gather the information I need for the session from my clients, and I'm able to check that information, and that is what is needed, and then program the information into them at subatomic particle level, at cellular level. And then we change the frequency around that. Why the frequency? When you were born in a particular place at a particular time, and you registered what we call a birth note, which we measure in cycles per second. Every organ, muscle, tissue, gland in the body has a frequency, which we measure in cycles per second. I mean, you've seen on television programs, you see the heart monitor, and you see those spikes. That is measuring the heartbeat in cycles per second. When you put an electrode on the brain, you see them spiking, and that's measuring it in cycles per second. When somebody passes away, you see the line flattens. It just goes totally flat because there is nothing. There's no activity in the body. Therefore, the measuring, the cycles per second is now stopped. So by the same token, we can also say that every problem that we resonate with, we can measure in cycles per second. And every positive intention that we have that we do not resonate with, we can measure in cycles per second. So we say, problems are something that we have that we don't want, and intentions are something that we want that we don't have.
Yeah.
And so
yeah.
The process is to identify the problem or the intention as part of the session, and then look for the underlying unconscious pattern, not subconscious, because again, it goes to subatomic particle level. So it can be, as I mentioned in my article, Transforming the Inner Child with Resonance Repatterning, it can go back to the time of conception. It can be during the 9 months of gestation. It certainly goes into life. So that's how we actually get the information that we need. So I've got over 60 different unconscious patterns. Can be parental, can be vision, the way we perceive the world, because sight, by the way, or the poor eyesight, is purely a symptom of something that's happening at another level in terms of our vision and the way we perceive the world. There is also
Does that mean that when you have worked with people who have poor eyesight and whose resonance repatterning has actually had success, that their eyesight also improves?
Absolutely. What I have in my consulting room is I have a chart that opticians would use. And before the session, I will get them to stand 10 feet away from the chart and actually look at the eye chart and see how far down the eye chart they managed to go. And then, at the end of the session, when we've changed the frequency around the whole session, I will go back and it's usually improved by at least 2 or 3 lines down that they're able, their vision has become more acute.
Well.
I must just
and
say
does
something.
This improvement of the vision hold?
Yes, let's put it this way. Yes, it does, but of course, life being life, if something happens in life that takes us back into the groove again, then the eyesight might be some traumatic event or something else that happens in our lives, etc., that may affect our vision again. But generally, I must say that it does hold. A lot of this work is based on work by a man called Dr. Sirota, who is now a very old gentleman living in Chicago. I think he doesn't even practice anymore. And he developed this whole method called the Sirota method. And we've applied this. We've taken all of his information and his modalities, his exercises that we give to our clients, and applied it back into resonance repatterning. So that's just one of the sets of unconscious patterns. Then we've got the relationships repatterning. We have a wonderful new one called Healing the Family System, which is based on Bert Hellinger's work, Family Constellation.
Yes, yes.
Extremely powerful. And we change the resonance around that. We have a whole set of unconscious patterns where we go back into people's lives and see what this is about in terms of their, you know, their relationships to the other family members, and even family members that they're not even aware of, family members in past generations. So it covers generational stuff. You know, the whole thing to remember, the overlighting presence, is that we are basically getting all this information at cellular level, at subatomic particle level. That's what makes it so powerful. So
when you are working with someone, whether that someone is sitting in your office or on the other side of the world, you're essentially using, if I understand you correctly, the muscle testing in order to determine which of those patterns, unconscious patterns, have gone awry.
That's exactly right. So what, let me give you typically what would happen. I would get somebody who would phone in, my first-time client. First of all, I would explain the process to them. Second, because we are not allowed to disempower you, you're never allowed to do a session of resonance repatterning on somebody against their will. The only time we're allowed to do it is in a situation with somebody who's very ill and can't respond, or to a very small child with the permission of the parents, or I do a lot of work on babies, even in utero. So that would be the situation. And I would then ask the client permission to proxy their muscle indicator. Now, they wouldn't even know what I mean very often, and I'm just saying, I'm getting this binary on or off response from my muscle indicator, and I'm going to start gathering the information. If I go silent, it's because I'm writing everything down that we're saying that's coming up for us, and I'm going to be then reading it back to you. I want you to repeat everything I say, because that puts it into your program. By the end of the session, every problem that you resonate with, that you're on for, you will no longer be on for, you'll be off for, and every intention that you do not resonate with, you will be on for. So all the positives you will be on for, all the negatives you will be off for. And by the way, as part of the session, we will probably somewhere look for a harmonic note or a disharmonic octave range in cycles per second, because that actually locates it in the body. And what we call a specific, where it goes to a specific place in the body, very often it's a specific area of the brain. So we may go to the amygdala in the limbic system of the brain, and so on. So that's basically how the system works. Yeah, and a session typically would take an hour to an hour and a half, where I have to go through, discover first the intention or the problem, then locate, and then go through a very detailed set of unconscious patterns. And during that process, we will go to the child. We will go to a very significant time in that child's development where I will muscle check. And it could be at conception, or it could be the birth process, or it could be the child of 6 or 7. And we will find out who is involved, mother, father, et cetera, brother, sister. We will find out what was going on at that particular time. And it always works that they start to join the dots and realize that that was the first time that they experience something that they are now replaying in their lives in the present.
But what happens if what you have just referred to is something that they have either totally repressed or truly forgotten in the normal sense of the word?
Then I have got a set, I've got a one particular set of an unconscious pattern, which is called an earlier experience repatterning. And then I will go to the manual, and I will look under the section who is involved, and I will look under the section what was actually manifesting that particular time. I do it particularly, it's a very good question, Gabriella, because I do it particularly when, for example, conception. I mean, you say conception, this is a conception issue. Okay, who's involved? Mother, father. Well, that's a given, obviously. Sometimes it can be, it goes through the list, and suddenly it's lover. Whose lover? Mother's lover? No, father's lover. There's unfinished business with the father when he is in fact impregnating his partner, wife, and so on. And so there is an energy that is going into the incoming soul that that child comes to being. So then, from that, we then look for, there are certain statements, all from the conception section of that, or later on. So if they can't, and you know what? It's very, very rare I go very still, very quiet, and I'll say, okay, you're 7 years old. This involves your mother, your father. You have a brother and a sister. Yes, I've got a brother. How old are they? I've got an older brother, a younger sister. Okay. So, now, just go very still. What was going on when you were 7 years old? Just go to your right intuitive brain. Tell me what. Very, very rarely do people not able to come up, are people not able to come up with some situation which sounds trifling for an adult, but for the child of seven, very significant. Maybe it's the first time that they experienced being disempowered, or maybe they were the first time that that there was some dynamic in the family with the siblings, et cetera, and which they now play out into their later lives. So that basically becomes the process when I'm working with somebody, over the phone. By the way, just in case I forget, I must also tell you that I work with animals as well. So I do sessions.
I actually saw that on your website. That is fascinating, yes.
Yes. So that was really funny, actually, because there's a story behind this, which I'll tell you. So what happened when Chloe was in the process of doing this work and first using it as a practitioner, et cetera, I didn't know if she was even teaching at that stage. She got a phone call from somebody who had a stud farm and owned horses. And she said that she had a horse that was completely unmanageable, and it was a thoroughbred, a very expensive horse, but she couldn't afford to keep it because she couldn't use this horse and for rides and things, because the horse would throw anybody that got onto this horse, and it was a very bad-tempered horse. It used to bite, it used to kick, et cetera, et cetera. Could you please come over and have a look at this horse and see whether there's something you could do? So Chloe came to the farm, and there was this horse in its paddock in the field, but way back. So she stood, and she looked at this horse, and in her mind, she just said to the horse, would you like me to do some work on you? So the horse came, would you like some resonance repatterning? That was the word that she used. So the horse came, trotting all the way over the field and stuck its head right over the fence at her. So she said, okay, so now would you like a session of holographic repatterning from me? The horse turned around and went all the way back up the field again, turned its back on her. She thought, oh, now what? She said, okay, would you like to have a session of resonance repatterning from your owner? The horse came back and stuck its head over the fence again. Now the owner ever done any resonance repatterning, so she had to learn the process. So Chloe taught her the process. She did a session.
You mean to tell me she went through the entire thing that you were telling me earlier, that all of you who are practitioners had to go through learning all of these modalities?
Well, she started off with, in those days, it was called the fundamentals of repatterning, and she got sufficient information from the primary patterns and fundamentals for her to actually, at that point, because student practitioners can do that, give a session to the horse. She had enough information to actually do a session on the horse and get the information from the horse as to what the problem was. As a result, she turned Chloe and she said, this horse, I'm now taking rides, and children can now get onto the back of this stallion.
Wow.
But I'm coming
What a fascinating story. So now you are also working with animals.
Now I've come to the point of the story as far as I'm concerned. So I get a call from a riding stable out in South Africa, in a park outside of Johannesburg. Would I please come and give a talk to all the people who own horses in the area? They would be fascinated to know about this and the story. So I go and I tell them the story, the background as I've given you on resonance repatterning, and then I go into the story about Chloe. So as a result of this, I get a cluster of people coming around me. Please, may I phone you? Please, I've got a problem with my pony. I've got a problem with my horse. I've got a problem with the stallion. I've got a problem with the mare. So I'm getting all these phone calls, and I'm now starting to do all these sessions on these horses. And I must tell you that some of the sessions that I did on some of these horses were absolutely fascinating. Can I give you one story? Okay.
Yes, please.
So I had somebody who had a mare, and this mare used to enter this horse for gymkhanas. The only problem is they had a hell of a job getting this horse into the into its horse box, because it was going into the dark box, and it used to balk, and they used to have the trainer, and they used to have the stable hands trying to push it from behind, and it used to pull back, and it would not go into the horse box. So she said, I can't use this horse, it won't go into the horse box, I can't travel with it, I've got the same problem, it's expensive, and so on. Is there something you can do? So I did a session on this horse. What turned up, now this sounds really woo-woo stuff, but I'm going to tell you. In a previous life, this horse had belonged to a 16-year-old girl, also somewhere in the Orange Free State of South Africa. Not in Johannesburg, somewhere else in South Africa, in a previous life. This horse, this girl used to go riding at night on this horse. She was a farm girl, bareback. And something, when she was riding through these fields, this horse stumbled into, you know, they have these deep holes that are made by a South African form of pig. It's called an aardvark. And so
Yes, I understood that. The South African pig.
That's right. So the horse stumbled into the hole and broke its leg, and it had to be destroyed.
And this
And because it fell into this dark hole, it couldn't see where it was going, etc., etc. So the moment I changed the frequency around that, and I also said, first of all, what I want you to do is your positive action. I want you to whisper into the, you heard of the horse whisperer. I want you to whisper into the horse's ear, you're going to be perfectly safe. It's okay. I'll be with you. I'm going to take you into the horse box. And what you need to do is put a light inside the horse box so the horse can see where it's going and give it an incentive, like a parrot or something, and just see that the horse goes gently into the horse box and then let me know what happens. Well, I got a phone book call to say that when they did it the very first time, the horse couldn't wait to get into the horse box.
Wow.
That's one of the sessions. I've done sessions on dogs, on a parrot called George that used to pluck all its feathers out, on poodles, on all sorts of things. Anyway, so that's my animal story.
Well, this is very, very fascinating. Now, I have a question about the books, because on the website you mention a number of books that resident repatterning practitioners use, and then again, with reference to the books and the founder of Resonance Repatterning that you've mentioned, Chloe Faith Wordsworth. But she apparently, from what I was reading, wanted a system that people could use on their own. So my question is, does that mean that potentially people could buy her book and learn how to do it themselves in sort of in a similar fashion as so many hundreds of thousands of people have downloaded the EFT manual from Gary Craig in order to teach it to themselves, even though then, of course, in order to continue and progress and evolve in the method, they generally seek out some practitioner?
Great question. The book is called Quantum Change Made Easy, Quantum Change Made Easy by Chloe Faith. You can get it on Amazon.com, and that lists everything that we've been talking about. There is a chapter on orientation. There's a chapter on problems to opportunities. There's a chapter on positive intentions. There's a chapter on the use of the muscle indicator. There's a chapter on unconscious patterns, etc., etc. And when in the course of reading the book, at the end of every chapter, there is a section with all of the modalities that you can do. So, for example, you can sit quietly, read the book, read the chapter, and go, okay, so what is my problem that I resonate with? You think of the problem, you write it down, you then go to the book, you look for an unconscious, you look for the modality to change that frequency around that. It's a list of modalities like exercises, like the thymus life tap, or the open heart gesture, or there's any number of them, their breathing patterns. There's a whole list. I mean, there's, again, many hundreds of modalities that one can use to change the frequency. And you do that, and then you go back and you look at your problem again and see how you actually feel, whether you're still feeling it in your body, whether you're still resonating with it in the body. Talking of which, I've just written an article called Feelings, the Essential Essence of Who We Are, which is going into the same place the previous article went. So, because feelings are so important, so you identify the problem, the feeling behind the problem, do the modality, and so on, also with intentions, et cetera, et cetera. So, yes, so it's a very valuable textbook for people who have no knowledge of this system. And then, of course,
you might like to mention to the listeners where they can get this article. They would have to subscribe, I guess, to Peter's newsletter, right?
That is correct.
And we're talking about someone who is called Peter Shepherd, who has a transformation website, which is spelled trans and then the number 4, if I'm not mistaken, transformation or transform. I don't remember exactly how it goes. I receive it all the time, and I write for it quite frequently, but it's gone out of my head, and I wouldn't like for people to wonder now where they can get a hold of your article, or will you also have it on your own website?
Eventually it will go onto my website as well. It's very new. I've just completed it. It's also going into the Holographic Repatterning Journal because I am a frequent contributor to the actual journal on various articles. So it's very new. I'm
yes.
sitting on my desk. I completed it last week. But it will come out there. Yes, it will go out there. They can inquire from Peter when the article will be appearing.
That would be very interesting to know, because this is a very an interesting article. Tell me again the exact title. I didn't write it down. Feeling what?
Feelings, the essential essence of who we are.
The essential essence of who we are. You know, in another way, because of course I'm not a resonance repatterning practitioner, but in another way I've written about this very same subject, and I've even got a YouTube video up about it. Emotions, your road to freedom. Now,
By the way, Gabriela, it's not that long an article. Would you like me to read it for you? It'll probably take about 5 minutes to read it, or do you think it's not appropriate now?
I would love you to do that, because I think it's a very important subject.
It is very important. So imagine a life without feelings. Would it be possible to enjoy anything at all? We function in a physical, mental, emotional, and spirit body. If we take the word feeling and apply it to these levels of consciousness, we can examine where this will lead us. What would it be like to experience life in a body devoid of the ability to feel at a physical level? We would be numb, impervious to touch, pleasure, or pain. Would it be possible to stay in touch with who we are without the ability to feel who we are at a mental, emotional, or spirit level? Our feelings are the essence of who we are. They fuel the energy that we constantly reinvent during the course of our lives. Our feelings keep us informed of our state of being. They put expression into our lives. Feelings motivate or de-energize us. They are at the core of our problems, and they galvanize us into action, positive or negative. We are our feelings at every stage of our lives. They inform us of who we are, optimistic, hopeful, depressed, or sad. They give value and meaning to our existence, our relationships, our dreams and aspirations. That is why it is so important to identify the feelings involved with our lives. In our problems are our opportunities for change. After we've identified the problem, the very next question is, and how does that make me feel? What is the feeling attached to the problem? And where do I feel it in my body? The outcome is to change the resonance attached to the feeling. We are not only our feelings as we experience them, but we need to understand our feelings and their source. In a recent session with a client, he stated that he felt he had no connection to God. He said he'd lost his connection to spirit. He felt empty and alone. I offered him the possibility that he was suffering from divine nostalgia. He instantly understood what I was saying and broke down and wept at the recognition of what he was actually feeling. We can run away from our feelings to a certain extent. It happens all the time. It is known as denial. In a grieving process through loss caused by death or the death of a relationship, we may attempt to block the feelings associated with the event. block the flow of feeling energy from the inner core to mental awareness. Some forms of repression can be quite crippling. This can happen when hurt or sorrow and similar forces push us to the edge of our capacity to accept such pain and loss. The self, who experiences all of this, is the center of our feeling nature. Feelings must be identified, accepted, and felt before they can be dealt with. Identifying their nature and what they are trying to tell us is essential to understanding our current state of being. Informed knowledge of our feelings is essential to maintaining good relationships. Feelings are information about who and what we are, where we stand in our personal evolution, and where we're going, or what is curtailing us from moving forward in our lives. Recycling old feelings keeps us stuck in our lives and are a way of staying in what is familiar, and that limits our lives. Moving through our feelings and changing the resonance with our feelings are what drives growth. Accepting our feelings and working through our unconscious patterns attached to these feelings allows us to release them and free them from the hold on the psyche and meet the need to be identified and expressed. We release them only after we've embraced them and expressed them in a safe environment. We validate ourselves and others by understanding and hearing the feelings expressed. In our communication with others, acknowledging a feeling can verify you are important, you are valuable, you are worth listening to. During any difference of opinion or argument, the way to release the negative energy around it is to state clearly what the incident was, free from any judgment statements, and then say, "And this is how I feel," or "This is how it made me feel." Thus we are stating just the facts and the feelings attached. When we feel heard, we feel validated and can come to some kind of closure and peace. Feelings are transient. Sometimes we feel stuck with them, but very often we move from one feeling to another. That is the nature of who we are. To acknowledge our feelings is important. That is why in a session of resonance repatterning, to ask the question, "And how does that make you feel?" creates an unexpected possibility for the person to identify and acknowledge the feeling consciously for the first time. At a physical level, when any part of the body is numb or without feeling, it is dead to the touch. At a mental or emotional level, when we feel numb or without feeling, it is unnerving. As sentient beings, we are sensitive to being stroked or struck. We can celebrate what we feel, even if it is pain, because this feeling will move through us once it is acknowledged, and we can survive and move on with our lives, spiraling upwards towards greater coherence. And so my quote at the end is, "Seeing, believing, but feeling the truth." That comes from Thomas Fuller. So that's
it. Is an excellent article, Michael. And of course, your insistence on the fact that we must understand, we must learn to understand our feelings being germane to our all-round holistic body-mind spirit health is something that is actually a very pet subject of mine from the point of view of how can we bring this into the school system. I don't mean resonance repatterning. I mean some kind of way with which children can begin to understand, because they are so much closer to it than we are, the connection between their body and the mind. Because if we can do that with children, we know very well that we will have another kind of adult than the one who doesn't have this kind of understanding. And I know that's not the topic of our conversation today, but your wonderful article that you just read brought that back to mind, because it is so important, and we do not do this in our schools.
You're absolutely right. And you know, and it is important to get to the young children and get to it when they, because, you know, from the age of 0 to 8, everything is right brain, everything is about self. It, from then on, from after the age of 8, we are set in stone, and we play out for the rest of our lives everything that has occurred in utero, the birth process, and from the age of 0 to 8. After that, very difficult to change the frequency around that, because we play out for the rest of our lives everything that's occurred in those formative years. So to try and get to children at as early as possible, and to try and educate children into what are you actually feeling. I mean, children are just the most amazing beings. I'd love to share, this has, again, nothing to do with this talk today, but it's I think it's a wonderful story I'd love to share with you. This is a story about a mother who had a four-year-old, and then she had another little baby. And the baby was very new, like 3 to 6 months old. And, you know, you have to keep your eyes peeled on a four-year-old all the time. Where are they? Anywhere in the environment, you see. So the child disappeared. So she starts to look for the child. Well, the most obvious place for her to look was in the baby's room. So she goes down the corridor, and she stands at the door, because the child had just gone in, and the child is bending over the baby's crib. And this is what she hears the four-year-old say to the baby. Tell me what God is like, because I'm starting to forget.
Oh. 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 No words. I have no words. How wonderful.
Yeah.
But yes, this is what we so willingly ignore or forget. This is what you have just said, this closeness that we have when we are that young to the sublime, to the divine, to crossing through the veil, all of that we are so willing to ignore and forget. I mean, as adults, we may have small touches of memory of it, or our children may make us remember small bits of it, and yet we're willing to ignore it, to put it aside, because it doesn't have a proper explanation.
Absolutely. And you know, I can tell you, I've just had an experience. I went on a picnic with some family with a very, very small child. This child is 5 months old. And this little boy was staring at me, but so intently, and I thought to myself, couldn't speak, what can you see? What are you looking at? But I'm telling you, you know, when you have those kind of eyes, it's coming out of a baby's eyes, but with such intense, what are you looking at? Are you looking at my aura? What can you see that others cannot see? This is, and it's absolutely true. And of course, you know, with young children, they say things, and then the parents say, oh, darling, yes, of course, it's a fantasy. So, you know, this is not real or whatever it is. In the meantime, the child is actually expressing something that is quite, important to itself and trying to express something that it's actually experiencing. So, for sure, that's what happens.
Absolutely. I have that experience quite frequently with little babies and very, very young children. I've just come back from Dubai, and on the different legs of the flight, there were a number of children in the airport and, you know, on the planes or on the buses getting into the planes. And it happened 3 or 4 times during the trip, and I thought, well, I don't know what they're checking out, but they're checking out something. Michael, I have a question, because you comment about some extremely interesting things on your website that have to do with sound frequencies and how some scientists demonstrated that different sound frequencies can vibrate into different forms. Can you explain that for our listeners?
Yes, absolutely. This is a lot of this work was done by Dr. Hans Jenny, if you want to note the name. Hans Jenny. I think it's J-E-N-N-Y or J-E-N-N-I. And what he did in his experiments was he used to vibrate, he'd put sand onto a copper plate, and then he'd vibrate certain sounds through the copper plate, and the sand would form cohesive, coherent patterns and shapes. I've actually got the photographs of it. And then he would take something like a drop of water, and he would drop it onto the plate, and then he would vibrate sounds, and it would form shapes very similar to the shapes that are formed by snowflakes and so on. And then what they did, they got from outer space the sound of, I think it was one of the planetary forms or the Milky Way or something, No, but it was a very, it was, I can't remember actually what it was, but it was a specific...
It was the Crab Nebula.
The Crab Nebula, thank you very much. That was what it was, the Crab Nebula. Now, there was this sand just lying there, and they vibrated the soundless sound of the Crab Nebula under this plate, and the sand formed itself into the shape of the Crab Nebula.
I know. When I read that, Michael, I was flabbergasted because this shows us the total resonance of energy and whatever it is that's going on frequency-wise within us.
Absolutely. Well, we are actually made up of sound and light. That is basically why we, the nature of the hologram. And we are, it's, there's an ancient Sanskrit word, Shabad, S-H-A-B-D, Shabad. And that is the life force. That is sound. So basically, the whole of the universe is made of sound and light. The physical body is made of sound and light. And so you know that if you look at a body that is sleeping, it has a certain frequency, a vibration, and you can recognize that this is a body that's sleeping. When you look at a body that is dead, it has no light. It's like an empty overcoat. It's because the sound and the light have actually left the body, and the body is then going to go into the process of returning to its source, back into disintegration, the dust to dust. Yeah. So,
yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I have now a slightly more personal question, if you don't mind, because I'm curious if you actually did some of this work or went to some practitioner to do this, some of this work on yourself prior to becoming interested in becoming a practitioner.
Well, my journey actually started when I became a practitioner back in South Africa, where I studied reflexology at the Institute of Reflexology, where we had to, you know, learn anatomy, physiology,
yes,
a certain amount of pathology, et cetera, et cetera. And so that, I became a very busy practitioner. I also used to do nutrition and vitamin mineral supplementation and so on. I had a mentor in South Africa, Dr. Andrew Cooks. And so it was then that somebody, I used to do Tai Chi, and there was a homeopath who came up to me one day at Tai Chi and said, you know that Chloe Wordsworth is coming to South Africa, and she's going to be teaching holographic repatterning. I didn't even know what she was talking about. She said, you know,
yes,
I really think
yes,
you should do this. And I went, oh, no, you know what, there are all these isms and wasms out there, and I've got a very busy practice. I mean, I was seeing 16 clients a day at that time. And so
wow.
I don't think so. So a year went by, and I used to hear all these jargon words like frequency and resonance and other words, you know, and so on and so on. And she came up to me again. She said, Michael, Chloe's coming back. She will not come back to South Africa again from America to teach this this module, this seminar. I really think you should do it. And I walked into the seminar room. Chloe was standing there, and she said, good God, what are you doing here? The reason why she asked the question was because I had originally met Chloe in India. I go into retreat very often in India. There's a certain place that I go to, and that is where I met Chloe in 1975.
Well.
Yeah. And so that was why. And then I said to her, when she said, what are you doing here? I said, I have absolutely no idea. But after an hour in that class, I knew that this was A, where I needed to be, and B, that everything that I'd ever learned, everything through my life, and it's been a very eventful life, was just like the base of a pyramid, leading me to this work that I now do called resonance repatterning. Yeah.
Well, I'm going to come back a little bit to my question. So does this mean that you then began to apply it to yourself?
Oh, God, yes. Sorry to use that word, but yes, absolutely. I mean, anybody who does this practice can immediately apply it into themselves. That is how you're taught to use it. Once you have the manuals, once you have the methodology, a person can actually sit down, and I do. The moment that I've got something that I can't handle in my life, I immediately do a session on myself. If I have an intention, there's something that's important that's about to happen, an event, or something that I really want for my life that I need, I will immediately go down and do a session on myself. Identify the problem, identify the intention that I don't resonate with, and find the underlying unconscious pattern. So I do it all
and the manner in which you I'm sorry.
No,
so that's the methodology I use on all of my clients.
Yes. And the manner in which you identify the fact that you don't resonate with, for example, what you just said a moment ago, with a specific intention, the manner in which you identify that is by the fact that you are feeling, let's say, uneasy or troubled?
It's saying what?
The manner in which you identify it is the fact that you are feeling uneasy or troubled about that particular intention?
It can be, or it can be just that not that I'm uneasy, but I really, really want to resonate with this. You know, we pay lip service to intentions very often, and we're not very focused in our intentions. We say, oh, I'd like to be wealthy. Well, you know, what is the universe going to do with I'd like to be wealthy? You have to actually pinpoint exactly what it is that you want in your positive intention, every detail, so that the universe can take that and work with it and conspire to make it happen, etc. So, yes, so it can be because it's a problem, or it can be an intention that's really important, and I want to see what's holding me back in terms of my unconscious patterns from this. By the way, I also do a lot of group work. I've done work with theater companies and commercial companies where I will go in. I wish we had the time. I've got lots and lots of stories. I mean, commercial companies, theater companies, where I've gone in and I've repatterned the entire company for their positive intention. What do you want from this play that you are putting on in this venue? And that means everything concerned with the success, with the most phenomenal results. And what I do is, just very briefly, I will have the entire cast, all of the crew, the sound, lighting technician, director, everybody connected with the particular play. And I will get them to enact one scene. I usually do it round about dress rehearsal time. I will get them to enact one scene from the play. Then we will look at the intention, and then we will look at doing the whole session, and I will choose one person from the cast, who is needed. It's usually one of the actors, to come out, and I get them to use their muscle indicator, and I proxy the rest of the craft doing the session.
Yes.
I do a complete session on that, and by the way, it even goes back to age, because it can be the age of the company, and what is happening in that particular company that was holding it back from success historically, etc., etc. And then when I've done it, I get them to reenact the scene that they did before. And one experience, they all burst into tears afterwards. They said, this felt as if it was like a completely different scene. When I was talking or interacting with these other actors, I felt as if I was saying these lines for the first time. And hearing them for the first time created a huge shift in perception, which, of course, everything is about that kind of frequency and resonance. For us as an audience watching this, takes it to another level.
Of course, and it's amazing because when you talk about, you know, success with an individual, if you're good at what you do and the method is good, why not? But to have the kind of success you're talking about with a group is quite a bit more phenomenal. I'm rather my mouth is hanging open even though I'm talking.
It's absolutely true.
I have a couple of other questions. Typically, how many times do people come to see you? I mean, I know there's nothing like typically, but still, you can give us an idea. How many times do people come to see you in order to obtain optimum results from resonance repatterning?
Well, you know, it's really rather like saying how long is a piece of string, because I've had people with me and have been with me almost ever since I've been in Canada, and they are addicted to the process, and so they come for everything that happens in their lives, every significant event, everything that's holding them back. They just feel that the investment for them is so worthwhile that I see them on a very, very regular basis. I have people who come to me with some acute problem, not chronic, acute, at a physical level or mental or emotional, and we will do a session or two, and they say, that's great, I'm done, thank you. And when I need you again, I'll phone you. and a year will go by, or 2 years will go by, and I'll get a phone call, Michael, I think I need a refresher, and I need to have another session with you. So it really does depend. And of course, as I said, I do a lot of phone-in sessions from all over the world, and I've got certain people that have been with me for some time on those phone-in sessions. Quite dramatically, I've been working with a baker and cake decorator in Seattle, and this man's business had flatlined and wasn't going up. He was just making a living, et cetera, et cetera. We put in a mission statement, a positive intention. What do you want for your business? And he gave me, and I kept on pushing him, what do you want? And so every detail of what he wanted went into his mission statement. We did the session. As a result, he got a call from a hotel. He's now doing all of that hotel's business, all of their functions, and they're very busy. All the weddings, all the significant events where they need cakes and decorating for that business, etc. So anyway, so that's just one example.
And is there anything that your clients can do on their own in between sessions?
Oh, absolutely. At the end of it, you are, Gabriella, you ask all the right questions. It sounds like you almost have a session. So, yes. On the mandala that I go to, which says orientation, problems to opportunities, intentions, unconscious patterns, and then modalities, and then there's a yellow section, and that is positive intentions. And so you will go, not positive intentions, I do it all every day. It is, it could be positive intentions. What they do is you go to a place, and I will tell them what they need to do after the session. And it can be very left field. It can be their positive intention that they need to do is they need to go to a dentist, or they need certain naturopathic food, or they need to go to another practitioner. So, yes, there are things, plenty of things that my clients do after a session.
And do you find that there is anything that has indicated to you that there is a specific type of individual or mentality or preparedness that makes a person, an individual, have quicker results with resonance repatterning?
I think that, you know, not really. You know, I have people who come to me initially who are extremely skeptical of the process, but they've heard about it and so on, and they do it, and then, you know, they get all these results. And then I get people who are really drawn to it and want to. So it's right across the board. It doesn't. What I have to have, though, is their explicit permission to do the session. That's, they can be as cynical about it as they like, and you know. But at the end of the day, they can't do it because somebody's told them to do it, or because it's somebody else's need. At the end of the day, it must be their need, and then they get the results that they need to get from that.
Well, I think we've come to the end of our time here. I want to thank all of our listeners for tuning in, and I want to particularly thank you, Michael, for appearing on the show today. I believe our listeners will have enjoyed this hour very much. Thank you, Michael.
Thank you so much, Gabriella, for inviting me, and I hope we touch sides again.
It was my pleasure. I'd love to do this again another time. Perhaps we can continue, because some of your stories that you haven't had time to tell, I'm sure, are fascinating. And now I'd like to invite everyone to tune in again next week at the same time in order to join me for a show in which we'll be talking with Lori Hillman, doctor of acupuncture, and who particularly works with women and the five elements from Chinese medicine. Lori is also active in bereavement counseling, nutrition and cancer care, and psychoneuroimmunology. Lori, apart from that, is the mother of 9 children. You heard me correctly, 9 children. So join me again next week. This is Dr. Gabriella Koch in Marbella, Spain, signing off from Rewiring the Soul.